Kind Father, we love you, we bless you, we adore you, we magnify you, we place none other before you. We thank you for yet another chance, another time to come before your presence, to hear a word from you. God, I ask you to speak through me, minister through me like never before. Let your Holy Spirit make himself available, and I make myself and yield myself and make myself available to let the Holy Spirit freely move inside of me. That everything that I see be something that you show me, God. That everything that I hear be something that you told me, God. That everything that I say be something that coming from your heart to your people, God. Let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. In Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen. Amen. Good morning. God bless you, City Beach Church and the world. Thank you once again for joining with us, for worshiping with us. I hope you guys enjoyed worship today. Listen, I love you guys. Thank you so much for joining with us. I am honored. I am pleased. I am just flabbergasted that you decided to join with us and spend some time with us as we get ready to hear what God has to say for you and had to say through me for you. Listen, we are on the verge of purchasing our very own building, and I don't want you to play a part in that. I want you to text any amount to 84321, and hope I got the number right. If not, I'm going to put the screen. You're going to see it on the screen. So text any amount to pledge, to donate, to whatever you want to give, $5, $10, whatever. Every little bit helps. And we're just honored that you want to listen to us and worship with us. And I want you to also participate and give with us as we get ready to purchase our very own building. We are excited. We are pleased that what God is doing is something we didn't anticipate, but God is pouring out his blessings and making himself available to us. So please, if you decide, just text any amount to 84321, and we'll be so grateful for that. Thank you. Listen, let's get in the word of God, what God has to say for us. We're in a time now where we are all suffering from something. We're all hurting from something, and we're all in some kind of pain or in some kind of turmoil. You know, we're getting towards right now we're at election season. Coming up this week is an election season, and it's something that, like this election is going to be very pivotal and very important. So I advise you, anybody that has not voted, taken an opportunity to vote, please go vote. It's important. People have died for your right to vote. People have gone to jail for your right to vote. Your vote, you may think your vote is not important, but your vote is very important. Otherwise, people wouldn't be trying to get together in courts to stop you from voting and to make your vote not count. So if your vote is that important for them to make it stop, to make your vote, make you not voice your opinion, it must be important for you to actually go out there and vote. I don't know who you vote for. I'm not going to tell you who to vote for, but exercise your right and vote. Okay, so right now we are in time. We are in a turmoil. Some of us are suffering from mental anguish, mental stress, mental anxiety, mental pain. Some of us are suffering from physical pain, physical anxiety, and physical pain. I myself am suffering with back ailments and things like that. And it comes and goes. And as you get older, you start to wake up and you can't really get up and do the things you used to do when you were older, when you were younger. I know when I was younger, I used to play ball all day long, ride my bike all day long, and not suffer anything and not feel a thing. Now, when I wake up, I gotta think about how to get up out of bed. I say, all right, okay, back, get it together. All right, let's go. You know, and I gotta, you know, slowly roll out of bed. And so it's a pain. And sometimes, and people, and as Americans and as anybody, we don't like to suffer. I know who's out here, raise your hand. I'm gonna see you. Who out here likes to suffer? Or like to suffer pain? No, I don't see anybody's hands being raised. So none of us like to suffer. None of us like to suffer pain, right? Not for any reason. But here's the thing. None of us like, because people hate pain without a purpose. People hate pain without a purpose. Excuse me. Because if I'm going to suffer pain, it's got to be a reason for it. If I'm going to, like, if I go to the gym and work out, and you start to work out, and you work out those muscles that you haven't worked out in a while, your muscles are going to start to yell back at you, like, what are you doing to me? You know, so and you start to run or you do whatever, your body's going to start, you know, running, you know, arguing back with you and fighting you back because it's growing. And it's those pains of growth hurt. You know, you work out and you work and your chest muscles start hurting and you work up the next day or 2 days later because when you forget, you work out your chest real hard and then you got, oh, my God, I'm having a heart attack. But then you realize you just work out the chest. That's all. So you just, you know, so it's people don't like to suffer pain unless there's a purpose. So we're going to talk about there is a reason and there's a purpose behind your pain. There's a purpose behind your pain, especially the pain sometimes that we don't put ourselves through, but sometimes God puts us through different tests and different trials and circumstances that we suffer pain and we suffer while doing for what God wants us to do. But there's a purpose behind that pain. And here's the thing. So we don't like to suffer pain without a purpose. But on the flip side, we can endure pain if there is a purpose. We can endure pain if there's a purpose. What do you say, PK? What do you mean by that? Well, let me ask you a question. How many of us have more than one child? Or how many of us have an older brother or sister? Okay? So those of us who have more than one child and those of us who have an older brother or sister or a younger brother or sister, our mothers or ourselves or our wives have given birth more than one time. And there is pain in that birth process. And they suffer that pain, but they recognize that after the birth and after that, the pain is the gift of the child that's being born. And even those that who haven't given natural birth, but that we suffer psychological birthing of people that we mentor and people that we come across that are like are not our physical children, but like our children spiritually. And we like as parents, as physical parents, as spiritual parents, we suffer the same birthing pains that as natural parents do. It's just different. And we keep doing it because there's a purpose. Because when we, you know, we see our child or see our children doing what God's called them to do, there's pleasure in that. And all after a while, the pain that you suffer with during that birthing process is forgotten. Or it doesn't seem as much, it doesn't seem as important because there's a purpose behind that pain. So we can endure any kind of pain if there's a purpose behind it. We work out and we train for a triathlon or 50K or whatever, and we go through the pain of our feet and our shins and everything like that. Those marathons, you wake up early in the morning before the sun comes up, and now all of a sudden we lost somebody, stole an hour from us this weekend. And we get up early, get up in the morning, it's dark, and go home at the bed at night, it's dark, and you never see the sun, and you're out there working and doing whatever you need to do, but there's a purpose behind that pain, and we can endure that. Students are in school, taking tests, writing papers, and doing all different kind of things, and trying to communicate with the teachers, and communicate with the other students, and especially nowadays, I can't see how you guys are doing it with this whole virtual thing, and you gotta make yourself try harder because it's different. You're not at a physical school. So you're at home and you're working through your home process to make yourself, educate yourself and to get yourself better. But there's a purpose behind that pain. Is that diploma? Is that degree? Is that job at the end of the road? Because there's a purpose behind that pain and we can endure that pain because there's a purpose behind it. Amen. So there is a reason and there's a purpose in your pain. Let's go to the Word of God. Luke, the 22nd chapter, and we're going to start with the 31st verse. Luke 22, starting with the 31st through the 34th verse. It says, and the Lord said, this is Jesus talking, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. And then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me. So here it is. Jesus is getting ready to be taken and be betrayed. Jesus is on his way. And Jesus is like, you know, you're talking to Peter, you're my rock, and you're going to You're going to do great things, but there's going to be pain behind what you're doing. And Peter's like, what? I got you, Jesus. I'm bold. I'm bad. I'm, you know, you can't, wherever you go, I go. I'll never deny you. You know, I'll go to my grave fighting for you. You know, but Jesus is like, look, Peter, listen, let me tell you something. Before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. Before this time, tomorrow morning, you're going to disown me. But that's okay. I pray for you. You know, you're going to go through this pain of trying to be separated and trying to separate yourself because you don't uncomfortable with what you're going through and with what I'm going through. But we're going through this is for a reason. There is a purpose behind the pain that you're going to go through. And so sometimes Peter didn't understand. I'm sure Peter didn't understand. He said, what? How dare he? You know, I'll prove to him how bad I am. So when the soldiers came and to take Jesus away, Peter threw his sword out and cut the centurion's ear off. And Jesus came, healed it, you know, and said, look, Peter, though he lived by the sword, he would die by the sword. You know, look, that's not the way to go. That's not the way I'm called to handle this. I got this. So Peter's like, I'm sure he's in pain. I'm sure he's suffering. And he's like, man, why did God, we go through all this time? Jesus came down here. He called us to sup with us, to teach us, to lead us, to have us perform miracles. And he's going to die die on this cross for us and for me. And I don't know what to do with all this. I can't handle it. I'm suffering. I'm in pain. But sometimes we got to realize that sometimes God's preparation comes packaged in pain. When God prepares you for something, it's sometimes packaged in pain so that you can realize or recognize or put a price on the gifting that God has called you or the gifting that God prepared for you or the package that God has gifted to you. You know how much it costs because of pain. It costs so much. You know, people have giftings and talents to do things that they were naturally gifted to. You know, like people can play sports and run and play music without really just picking it up or just playing by ear. But there's other people that, you know, have to train for it, have to study for it. And even those that are gifted naturally and talented need to study and need to perfect the gift that God has put inside of you. That way you can make yourself better and make your gifting better and make it more presentable to what God has wanted you to do. So there's a pain, there's a price that you have to pay for the gift that God has given you. And so that sometimes that package that God has given you is packaged in pain. And if you go through it, if you suffer through the pain, you're going to reign through whatever God's promised you. There's a promise at the end of that pain. There's a purpose and a promise behind that pain that God has given you, that God has placed before you. It might seem tough, it might seem difficult, it might seem lonely, it might seem by yourself, it might seem like I don't have what I want to get what God has given me. I want to ask God for this and that, but he hasn't given me that. He's given me this little rock or whatever. But if you keep putting pressure behind that package, you're gonna turn into a pearl, it's gonna turn into a diamond, it's gonna turn into something more beautiful than you can ever imagine. Because sometimes there's pain packaged behind your purpose. Amen? And so Jesus came and told his disciples, he said, look, I pray for you guys. Before he left, we talked about this last week in our sermon. Jesus prepared the way and taught them and preached the word to them. But he prayed for them before he left. And if you look in the book of 1 Peter, starting with the fifth chapter, Peter's given some words of wisdom here. And if it reads as such, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But here's the thing. Seek, resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. We're going through this together. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So that goes to tell you, look, you're going to suffer. And you might seem like you're all alone. That's one of the tricks of the enemy. First trick of the enemy is to convince you that he doesn't exist. If the devil could convince you that he doesn't exist, he's got you. He exists, right? So now you know that he exists. And so you have pain, you have suffering that God is testing you and trying you through and tempting you through because he wants to make you stronger. He wants to make you better because we can't go through getting strengthened without sometimes going through pain and pressure. Another trick of the enemy is to think we're going through it all alone. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Is nobody with me? Can I get an amen? Is nobody here by, I'm here standing on here by myself? Even the prophets in the Bible, they thought they were isolated. Elijah, he killed all the prophets of Baal, put all the Ahab and Jezebel's prophets down and killed them all. She made one threat. He thought he was all alone. Got so scared, ran away. Look this, he got the word from the other prophets. Look this, 100 more where you came from. You're not alone. So here it is, Peter convincing the saints of the new church now, convincing you, and I'm telling you, you are not alone. You are not suffering. You are not going through this suffering alone. You are not in pain alone. God sees you, God knows you, and God is available for you. You are not in pain alone. All you need to do is reach out and ask for help, and God will send a ram in a bush. God will send somebody to give you a word of encouragement, to touch you, or to give you a text or a tweet, and will like, look, I hear you. I see you. You're not in the suffering alone. And that's the thing. It's like, you think if I'm suffering and if I realize that I'm not suffering by myself, I can make it. Because I may not be able to see the end of the road, but if I can see you, we can go through this together. Because there's power in unity. There's power when we're together. There's power when we, as two or three, are gathered together in his name. He's going to be in the midst of it. So as long as we know we're not suffering alone, you're going to make it. You're strengthened in strength in numbers. Yeah. Amen? So resist him. He's going to flee from you. Because the devil comes, like I said, as a roaring lion. And I've asked this question before. I'll ask it again. What makes the lion, we call the lion the king of the jungle. What makes the lion a king? What makes him so powerful? What makes him so bold? What makes him the one on top, like the king of the world, like Simba, Mufasa. This is everything, all the way your land, everything you look at is your land. And what makes him the king? Is his real, his regality, his mane, his roar, his regalness, the way he props himself up. But another way that makes him powerful is his roar. Because the lion isn't the strongest animal in the kingdom. He isn't the fastest animal in the kingdom. He isn't the one that can get away or fly high and get away from his prey or whatever. The lion, the king, the male lion, isn't even the one that goes out and hunts. The lioness does all the hunting. He gets to enjoy the spoil of her work. But he's the king. You know what makes him so powerful is that roar. Because what that roar does, it strikes fear in his prey. That roar makes the animal that he's coming after strike up in fear and just like it seize up. He's chasing after a gazelle or a deer or an antelope, whatever, and he's roaring. And the animal just like, scares him. And once he gets that scare, all of a sudden he can catch up to him or he can overtake him. He goes up, he roars on a lion, not a lion, but an elephant or something bigger than him. He can scare him, gets him out of his element. And if he gets you out of your element or gets you off track, he can get you. But here's the thing. That lion's roar is like something that is a determinant that, I'm about to be destroyed. I'm about to be overtaken. I'm about to go down. I'm about to go down for the count. Elizabeth, I'm coming to join you, honey. But all of a sudden, that lion destruction is like, it's just a roaring lion. It's just a roar. And it's like there's nothing behind it. Here's the thing. Let me tell you something. What was meant for your destruction was only a distraction. What was meant for your destruction was only a distraction. That roar is just a distraction. That doctor's report is just a distraction. The election result is just a distraction. That pain that you have in your body is just a distraction. It's not meant to destroy, it's meant to destroy you, but it's just a distraction. Because with God, I have all power. With God, this little suffering for a little while is going to be, it's going to make itself make me better. And I'm going to reign because of this. So that roar or that pain or that whatever was set up before you is just a distraction. It's what they thought that was going to kill you, what they thought was going to take you out, what the enemy thought was going to just take you, wipe you out of the world and lose your hope, lose your faith. That's what he wants. He wants your faith. He wants you to let go of your faith and lose faith in what God has promised you. He wants you to let go of what the word of God has said for your life, that you're the head and not the tail, that you're above and not beneath. But that little roar that the devil comes at you, it's just a distraction. Here, in Isaiah 54 chapter, 16th and 17th verse, we heard some of this before. He says, look, behold, I have created the blacksmith. This is God talking. God saying this. I created the blacksmith who blows the coil in the fire, who brings forth the instrument for his work. And I have created the spoiler to destroy. Here's the thing. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is from me, says the Lord. No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper. He didn't say the weapon was not going to be formed. The weapon's going to come. It's going to be formed. You know what? God created the person that created the weapon. He didn't say that the weapon's not going to be aimed at you. It's not going to be fired in your direction. But you know what? God created the person that's going to shoot that weapon at you to destroy. He created that. And whatever it was, whatever that attack was, it's not going to prosper. Didn't say it's not going to hurt. Didn't say it was not going to try to hit his mark. But it's not going to prosper. Because this is not going to prosper. Because this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. You have a heritage in him. You have a future in him. Even when the devil says you have nothing left to live for, you got a heritage. You got a future within God. Amen. 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 Amos 9 and 9, something I read this and I thought, wow, this is powerful. For surely I will command and I will sift the house of Israel among all nations. As grain is sifted in a sieve, yet not the smallest grain shall fall to the ground. So you're going to go through a sifting. It says, surely, without a doubt, I will command, and I will, it's by God's command that he's going to sift the house of Israel, even Peter, even all of them, even you, even me. He's going to sift us through the house of the, like a sieve, like he's sifting flour to get rid of the stuff that you don't need to cook with. But here's the thing, not the smallest grain is going to fall to the ground. Because you know what? There's a shifting in your sifting. When you come through a sifting and you're getting separated from the things that are falling off you that do you no good, when you're going through a sifting process and those bad habits are being shaken out of you and those bad traits are being shaken away from you, all of a sudden you don't have the taste of this anymore, you don't have the taste for that anymore, you get into somebody cuts you off, you don't curse them out, you're being sifted because there's a shifting in the sifting. All of a sudden, you find yourself, you're not in the same place that you used to be. Where you were now is not where you used to be a year ago. Where you are now is not where you used to be a week ago because you've gone through the sifting process. And there's a shifting until you go higher into the next level where God calls you to be in the sifting that God has called you through. Amen. 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 Listen. We talked about Peter. And we said, look, Peter, Jesus told Peter, before the next morning, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me three times. We know that story when Jesus got arrested and people are like, look, isn't that one of his disciples? He said, no, man. Look, no, I don't know what you're talking about. He just, look, I know that's one of him. He cursed him out. So, no, it's not me. And his little girl came to say, I know that's one of the ones that was with Jesus. He said, no, I don't know. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know that man. And all of a sudden, that third time, the cock crows. And Jesus looks at him because he was just that close. Jesus looked at him like, and he was so upset. So upset. Look in verse 61 and 62 of Luke, 22nd chapter. And it said, the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And then Peter, remembered the word of the Lord and how he said to him, behold, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. He betrayed him. I thought I was stronger than that. You realize you're not as strong as you think you are because you didn't go through the process yet. He hadn't gone through the process. He hadn't received the Holy Spirit that's going to come down and give him power. But here's the thing. Let me tell you another secret. I tell everybody this all the time. Either we win or we learn. We never lose. Either we win or we learn. We never lose. As long as you got breath in your body, any mistake that you've made, any setback that you suffered, as long as you got breath in your body, you got another chance to get it right. And now that you've suffered that pain, now that you've suffered that setback, and you've done that thing that you thought you didn't, thought you were over, or thought you wouldn't do again. Now that you know better, you can do better. So let's change your mindset. We don't win or lose. We win or we learn. Because everything that we don't work out right is a chance to get it right. Somebody that scores a touchdown against us, we know, okay, block that person. Okay, somebody got passed by defenses. Okay, now I know what to look out for. Okay, this person came at me one way and they caused me to slip up and curse, or they caused me to slip up and lose my religion. Now I know what to look out for. Now your defenses are up. Now you're guarded. Now you're girded. Now you're trusting more in God. Now you're reading more of his word. And so now now when that thing comes out at you again, disguised the same way or a different way, you learn better. Oh, no, I recognize you, devil. I see who you are. I see. Wait. Run. Look, you got to come better than that. You've got to come stronger than that. You come out like the cowardly lion in a Wizard of Oz or the Wiz, depending on your version. It's just like, I know who you are. I recognize you past your roar. I recognize you past your testing. I recognize you past your tempting. I recognize and I realize that there's purpose behind the pain that I'm going through. And what's meant to destroy me is only going to distract me. And I'm not even going to be distracted because I got a place I got to go. Because you are not in my roll call. You are not in my menu. You are not in my list of priorities I could do without you, because you have been sifted from my life. So I don't need you anymore. So your roaring and your threats and your accusations mean nothing to me because they can't stand. They can't hold themselves because I'm called to a purpose. I'm called to a better place. I'm called to a higher standing in you and God. And whatever is meant to hurt me or to distract me or to tear me down, you can't hold it up against me because that weapon is not going to prosper. Amen. All right. So here's the thing. Another mindset check. When you're suffering with pain, you're suffering from circumstances that seem tougher or seem unfair or seem like it's more than you can handle, don't look at life from the perspective of pain. See your pain from the perspective of this purpose. Don't look at life from the perspective of pain. Look, oh my God, I'm such a bad place. I'm by myself. I'm doing this and I can't seem to make ends meet. But see your pain from a perspective of purpose. Oh, the devil's, or my finances aren't where I want them to be. or where they should be. Huh, I'm suffering my finances. That must mean I'm going to be blessed to give. Oh, I'm going to exercise my finances and tell my finances what to do. I'm going to give more. Oh, so you trying to come at me with my pain in my body. Oh, that's okay. I'm healed. I don't care what the doctor's report says. I'm walking in my healing. Oh, you coming after me in my job or in my career and whatever and whatnot, and you kind of trying to threaten me to lose my job? Huh. I was meant to be an entrepreneur anyway. You just giving me opportunity to do what I've been called to do, not do what I have to do. Oh, you coming at me looking like I got this idea and I have an idea what I want to do, but I'm afraid to do this thing and do that thing and do what, you know, I really want to do, but I'm fearful, and I feel like I'm like set myself back and set myself down for failure. I'm gonna do like Carla Williams and say, I'm gonna do it afraid. And just do it. Oh, I see, I recognize you who you are, devil. You got nothing on me. So I see my pain through a perspective of purpose. There's purpose behind this pain. There's a purpose behind this pressure that I'm going through. There's a purpose behind that, and his God is in all in the midst. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. God works all things, not just good things, all things together for the good. The bad things he works together for his good, for your good. Those suffering that you went through is for your good. Those loss that you went through is for your good. That pressure, that pain, that mental instability is for your good, because God wants you to make yourself stronger in him and strong and trust him more, because all things work together for your good, because we either win or we learn. We never lose. James 1:2-4 says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. You want to have patience, God's going to test your faith. You ask God for something, he doesn't say yes or no, he says not yet. And you still have faith, that's going to produce patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So you're going to lack nothing when you're going through tests and trials and circumstances. Just have faith and keep your faith strong, because your pain has purpose. Amen. Amen. Now, let's go back to Peter. Peter did what he did. You know, he promised God he's going to have his back. And God said, and Jesus said, look, you're not going to have my back. You're going to deny me 3 times before the cock crows in the morning. And he did it. And then he saw Jesus and he remembered, and he ran off and wept. But he got himself back together. Jesus died on the cross, came back from heaven and rained down on them. They went together on the day of Pentecost, and they got together in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit came and sat on them like tongues of fire. And Peter preached his first sermon. Peter the fisherman, Peter the fighter, Peter the guy that cut off the guy's ear, Peter the guy that denied who Jesus was, preached his first sermon. And look in the book of Acts, the 2nd chapter, started with the 40th verse, it says, and with many other words, he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. And then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them. Peter preached so well, preached so much, the Holy Spirit used him like never before, that 3,000 people were saved just that very day from that one sermon that Peter preached. And that's what Jesus meant when he says, you're going to go through different trials and simple circumstances, but God's going to, I'm praying for you that your faith will be whole, and you're going to add more to them. Like we went to at the beginning of the scripture, we talked about that. So here's the thing, and I'm ending, I'm closing with this. Your purpose has a pain. Your pain has a purpose, right? Especially if it's sent by God, because God never wastes a hurt. never wastes a hurt. There's always a purpose behind the pain. There's nothing to waste. Every pain has a meaning. Any pain has a purpose. And he did this by, he didn't just tell us this, but he led us this and showed us by example, because Jesus went through pain. He went through suffering. He suffered the agony of a dying on a cross, an embarrassing cross death, the being afflicted with the cat of nine tails, being beaten and accused of something he didn't do. And he bore the sins of me and you and the entire world, and suffered separation from between God, his Father, for me and for you. He went through that pain and that suffering for you. There was a purpose behind that. Because through his suffering, you can reign with him. Through the pain that he bore on the cross at Calvary, we can rule and reign with him. We can be the God's called us to be. God bore the cross, the pain at the cross of Calvary for you and for me. And I'm here as his representative, as his mouthpiece, as a pastor, just to reach out to you and offer God in Christ to you. He did all of that for you. He bore all your pain, all your suffering, and died for your sins because he loved you. And all you need to do is accept him. John 3:16-17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." And I'm here to offer Christ to you. It's called the gift of salvation. I broke it in three steps, ABCs of salvation. A, admit or acknowledge that we are sinners in need of forgiveness. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." And B, believe. Believe that not only Jesus died for our sins, but rose again from the grave. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." And C, confess. Confess your faith in Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Romans 10:9-10 says, "If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved." A, admit or acknowledge. B, believe. C, confess. ABC to salvation. And I want to pray this prayer with you, and I want you to repeat after me and pray this prayer with me. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes and pray this prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I ask for your forgiveness. I believe you died for my sins and rose from the dead. I turn from my sins and invite you to come into my heart and life. I want to trust and follow you as my Lord and Savior. In your name I pray, amen. Kind Father, I ask you to touch those hearts of those that pray this prayer and those that are listening to this sermon. Father God, I ask you to prick their hearts, convince them, convict them, let them know that they need to be saved. Let them know that they need to find a church home that's loving you and that's preaching your word and preaching your gospel. They can't make this thing alone. They are not in this thing alone. You are there with them. You are there for them. God, I ask you to touch their hearts, touch their minds, and let them to come to know you in a very real way. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray, amen. Amen. Listen, those of you who prayed that prayer, or those of you looking for a church to call home, or a place to communicate with, or a body of believers to fellowship with, we are here for you. I need you to text the word all in, ALLIN, to 609-831-3377. Again, text the word all in, one word, ALLIN, to 609-831-3377. 3377. Listen, thank you so much. Thank you so much for spending your time with us, spending your Sunday with us, spending your rebroadcast time with us and listening to us. I am so humbled. I am so honored. I am so grateful. I love you so much. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining with us. I love you. Have a great day.